In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, September 8th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The dispersion of refugees from the Middle East actually benefits the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, one evangelical Lutheran church reports they are seeing hundreds of Muslim believers converting to Christianity. Pastor Gottfried Martin's church attendance has quadrupled in 2 years, mostly from Iranian and Afghan asylum seekers. Pastor Martin's explains how they are coming to faith in Christ.
So these people came, and then they asked the pastor, "We would like to become Christians. Can you teach us?" And so they got some baptismal instruction classes in which they were taught in the Christian doctrine and Christian faith, and then they confessed their faith. And we thought at the beginning, that's it. Two people, maybe three people, maybe four people. I tell you, it's now more than 300.
Pastor Martins also said that about 90% of those baptized have continued faithfully in attendance. Attorneys for Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis are appealing the order that put her in jail to the 6th Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. This is her 6th day in the Carter County Detention Center, and she continues to refuse to issue marriage licenses to homosexuals. She remains the county clerk unless she fails to win the next election, or she is impeached by the Kentucky State Assembly. Evangelist Franklin Graham commended Davis on Facebook yesterday. He said this is exactly the ripple effect to be expected from the Supreme Court ruling, the, quote, criminalization of Christianity, unquote. Kim Davis has also been invited to the National Religious Liberties Conference on November 6th and 7th in Des Moines, Iowa, if she is out of jail by that time. Other speakers will include Senior Master Sergeant Philip Monk, Nagma Abedini, and the Benham brothers, all of whom have suffered persecution in America and elsewhere. For more information on this critical conference, visit freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org. An elder at the Church of the Covenant in Manhattan has initiated a $1 million lawsuit against the pastor of the church. The complaint involves the use of four-letter words from the pulpit. Both the pastor and elder are lawyers themselves. The Apostle Paul asks, "When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? If you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this is to your shame." Police officer shootings are on the rise. A Las Vegas police officer was shot Sunday while sitting in his patrol car. The suspect was arrested soon afterwards, and the officer is expected to survive, thankfully, according to Fox News. This follows murders of police officers in Texas and Illinois over the last 2 weeks. Fox News featured a one-hour special on the Planned Parenthood video expose with producer David DeLayden. He told interviewers that Planned Parenthood is motivated by two words, abortion and money. Vice President Joe Biden addressed enthusiastic crowds in Pittsburgh over the weekend, telling them he had not decided about a run in the 2016 presidential contest. His speeches were peppered with the irreverent use of God's name, breaking the third commandment. His main concern was the redistribution of the wealth and the rising wealthy class in the country. Hillary Clinton still leads in the polls for the Democratic nomination at 37%. Biden and Bernie Sanders, the Vermont Socialist Senator, each stand at 20%. Two brothers, 17 years old and 22 years old, are now in custody after allegedly attempting to kill their parents and burn the house down in an Atlanta suburb. Their father, Zachary Irvin, was brutally stabbed and is now hospitalized in critical condition. Their mother, Yvonne Irvin, was badly beaten and the one to call the 911 operator, indicating that their sons were trying to kill her and her husband, according to a CNN report. No motive has been gleaned for the attempted murders. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke directly to such a travesty in Matthew 15, when he said, "God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, What you would have gained from me is given to God. He need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. In the providence of God, a salmonella outbreak has resulted in hundreds of cases of sickness and one death across America. The epidemic is linked to cucumbers grown in Mexico. A 12-year-old from Essex, England, has beat Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking on the IQ test. Lydia Sebastian secured the perfect score of 162. Another young 12-year-old girl with a gypsy background did the same thing last month. The test, however, missed the beginning of knowledge, which is the fear of the Lord. TravelMath.com sent a microbiologist on an airplane trip to test for the highest concentration of germs on various surfaces. Survey says the highest source was the tray table. After that, the drinking fountain push buttons, the overhead air vent control, laboratory push button, and the seatbelt. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, September 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
This is the Generations Radio Broadcast, my friends. Kevin Swanson, welcome. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom in the United States of America. And phenomenal times right now, friends. As far as I know, the first well-publicized case of a Christian imprisoned in the United States of America over the last 240 years. This is a remarkable moment in the history of this country, perhaps in the history of the entire Western world. Granted, there was some persecution against true Christians in the 16th and 17th centuries, but we had a period of freedom, especially here in America, over a number of years, over some 250 to 300 years. And finally, America has finally crossed the line and has imprisoned a Christian for her faith. And that's what makes this time so remarkable. And I think we need to continually remind our children of the days in which we live. Kim Davis, the county clerk in Kentucky, is now spending her sixth day, day six, in the county jail in Kentucky. She is, as far as I'm concerned, the most courageous woman in America, and we need to tip our hats to this woman. I'm going to defend her position on this edition of the radio program. I'm going to do it by way of Christian history and by way of American history and by way of biblical approach to things. We're going to take another look at Romans 13. People throw Romans 13 around, but they rarely read it, and they rarely talk about what it really means to be a minister of God, not a minister of the Supreme Court of the United States, a minister of God. There's a slight difference between those things, and we're going to talk about that on this edition of the program. Joining me on this program is Curtis Watley, an old friend we've known for some 15 years, and he's a director of Team Pact, an organization that is raising up an entirely new cadre of leaders for America, probably kicking in by the year 2045. So just you wait and see. There is a rising tide of great leaders who have been trained in homeschools and Christian families across this country. They've been raised up in the kitchens and living rooms on the basis of God's word. And it's not just going to be Kim Davis by the year 2040, my friends. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But Curtis, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And you're going to talk a little bit about some other heroes down in the state of Alabama. You are from the state of Alabama, one of the few states that still stands for truth occasionally. And that's where you hail from, Curtis. So we're going to get back to that in a moment. But first, here's what's happening with Kim Davis. She is spending her sixth day in the county jail. And she's doing so because she refuses to sign a marriage license to homosexuals and thereby disobey the law of God. And friends, she is a duly elected civil magistrate. And yes, she's a lower magistrate, but she is a civil magistrate and a minister of God to do God's will, that is to reward the good, that is to supply a marriage certificate to the good, and to punish the evildoer as defined by God's law, not man's law. And that's a very important distinction, friends. Just a couple other things that I think we need to know what's happening in terms of her support. She's not getting a lot of support from Christian churches, sadly. However, Mike Huckabee said he also would defy the Supreme Court as well and he would join Kim Davis in jail. Also, Madonna's homosexual brother is supporting Kim Davis, believe it or not. Sadly, however, some pastors will not. I was on a Kansas City radio station a couple of days ago, and some pastor wrote into the program and said she needs to submit to the Supreme Court of the United States. That's the law of the land. That's the supreme law of the land. I said, no, it's not. The supreme law of the land is God's law. And there's a difference between this man's religion and mine. This man sees the supreme law, the supreme lawgiver, to this be the Supreme Court of the United States, which happened to be 9 men and women. That's not my religion. That's the other religion. My religion is that there is a God in the heavens who made heaven and earth, and he is the source of law. He is the ultimate and absolute source of law on planet Earth. And Kim Davis reports to him primarily, not to the Supreme Court of the United States. Again, two religions, my friends. Religion one says the state is God, and we all must submit to the state as God. Then there is the other religion that says God is God, the God who made heaven and earth and gave us the Ten Commandments. He is the very source of law, and we are all subject to him in the ultimate sense. So you see, you have two different religions. We have pastors in purportedly Christian churches, but they're not. They're statist churches. They're churches that worship the state and consider the state to be the ultimate source of law and thereby God. And then there's the other church, the true church, that considers the God of the Bible to be God. And by the way, the same thing exists in China. There are some purportedly Christian churches that submit to the state in the ultimate sense and not to God. And then there is the house church movement that's been burgeoning and growing despite the persecution over the last 30, 40 years. And I'm so thankful the same thing is happening here in America. Well, I'm thankful that Kim Davis has the courage to stand up against the forces of darkness, ultimately. Anybody that tries to approve of the absolute worst possible abomination on planet Earth and give a marriage license to homosexuals is violating the laws of God. And I'm so glad that Kim Davis has stepped forward and said, ain't going to happen. And she was arrested by the local authorities and put in the county jail on the direct order of a federal circuit court judge. And she is suffering in a county jail right now, day 6. Now, I'm thankful for her courage. Now, some people say it's too bad she did that because she doesn't have any backing. She doesn't have any backing from the state. The governor of the state will not support her in this. That's too bad. The governors of most of the states or all of the states right now do not have the courage to stand up against the Supreme Court of the United States. They will fear the Supreme Court over God. And friends, according to Revelation 21 and verse 8, the cowardly, the unbelievers, will have their place in the lake of fire. And I'm here to tell you, if there are governors right now who refuse to obey God because they fear the Supreme Court of the United States, my friends, they have their place in the lake of fire. These magistrates will go to hell if they do not assume the courage to stand up against the Supreme Court of the United States and fear God, the God of heaven and earth, over the Supreme Court of the United States. They will go to hell. And it's hard to imagine that all 50 governors of all 50 states are on their way to hell. But if they are cowardly, if they're in a position of authority and refuse to act as ministers of God, they will go to hell. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Generations Radio Broadcast.
Persecution against Christians is on the rise in Pakistan, Iran, India, Africa, Canada, Washington, and Iowa. Our religious liberties are hanging in the balance.
There was a report that recently found that Christians are the most persecuted religious minority in the world.
News reports every day indicate the tide is turning right now.
Well, last night, Reverend Franklin Graham was here talking about what he called the growing hostility toward Christians in America, including the Christmas holiday.
We lost religious freedom battles in Indiana and Arkansas this year. Christian businesses have been fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding. Christian parents are concerned about parental rights and education and medical choices.
I believe we're going to see persecution in this country. We've already seen many laws that have been passed restrict our freedom as Christians. And so I believe it's going to get worse. And we see, no question, gaining influence in Washington.
That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday, November 6th and Saturday, November 7th. 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, we want to register our commitment to liberty. It's time to get educated, get inspired, get connected, get motivated, get some influence, and get ready to impact the 2016 elections. Meet the presidential candidates, take part in a presidential poll, support fellow Christians who are taking the brunt of it. This conference is for Christian pastors, parents, teachers, businessmen, employees, and chaplains. Bring your family to the Iowa Event Center on November 6th and 7th for an historic event as we take a stand for liberty. This is a crucial moment in the history of the Western world. Will you play a part in it? Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Friends, today, talking about Kim Davis' case out in Kentucky. She is on day six, serving time, because she refuses to bow the knee to King Nebuchadnezzar. She will not sign that document. She will not put the incense on the altar for Caesar. She will not in any way support the abomination of homosexual marriage. And because of that, she has been remanded to the county jail. Day six for Kim Davis in a Kentucky county jail. Now, there are some who are saying, hey, wait a minute. Kim Davis isn't submitting to Romans 13. She isn't submitting to the authorities. Friends, Kim Davis is the authority. She is a civil authority. She's a duly elected magistrate and a minister of God. And she is required to be God's avenger to those who disobey God's law. And she is to be a rewarder for those who obey God's law in the position in which she finds herself. Now, somebody said also that no one is compelling her to stay in office. And that's true, except perhaps for God, except for perhaps for the people who elected her to her office. Now, because it's an elected office, she cannot be removed but by the electorate. She has been put in that position and therefore is a duly elected, duly appointed by God, civil magistrate. She didn't achieve that position by revolution. She came about that position by all lawful means. She is a magistrate, duly elected. And friends, she can continue in that position. And if the electorate continues to put her in that position, she will remain in that position. And she may even be reelected in jail. And I would recommend that she continue to run for office from jail. Now, of course, these things take wisdom. Some people will criticize her because she made the wrong call. She opposed an higher magistrate and she didn't have the troops to back it up. She wasn't able to defend herself. As Jesus said, a king must count the cost of war before he goes to war. But, you know, as it turns out, county clerks don't have the power to raise militias. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. And sadly, governors don't have the guts to stand up against the higher magistrates. Now, some of you are probably thinking at this point, this sounds rather odd. I'm sorry, it's not odd. It's how this nation formed 250 years ago. If you're a citizen of this country and you love this country and appreciate this country, friends, it's because of what the lower magistrates decided to do when they opposed the higher magistrate, this gigantic British Empire in 1776. And friends, they did it on the basis of Samuel Rutherford's Lex Rex and John Calvin's Institutes. And yes, there were godly men at one time who understood the Word of God and applied the book of Jeremiah and elsewhere to this issue of the lower magistrates. And I've got a book coming out in just a few weeks called Freedom, the 2000-year heritage of freedom in the West. And you can get a copy right now at our website, kevinswanson.com. And I've discovered over 800 years since the Magna Carta, this is the 800th year of the Magna Carta, there's never been an instance in which freedom has been retained during a time of tyrannical impositions outside of the lower magistrates acting in interposition. Friends, this is the only way that anybody has ever enjoyed freedom in the Western world since the Magna Carta, the lower magistrates took on King John. And, of course, the Declaration of Independence from Scotland because of Robert the Bruce and William Wallace. Again, lower magistrates up against the higher. And again, with William the Silent, the stadtholder of the Netherlands, up against the Holy Roman Emperor. And he fought that war tooth and nail, lost his three brothers, lost his son, lost all of his possessions, and eventually lost his own life, but regained freedom for the Netherlands, friends, against the worst possible tyrannical destruction of human life, perhaps in the last 2,000 years, certainly the worst of all of the Inquisitions, the bloodiest of all the Inquisitions happened because of that tyrant Philip II. And thanks be to God for the lower magistrate with the guts to stand up against that. And the Netherlands had their Declaration of Independence, and of course our Declaration of Independence patterned after that one. We would never have had a Magna Carta. We would never have had a Bill of Rights unless there had been county clerks like Kim Davis. And lower magistrates, governors, I know it hardly happens anymore. You say, why doesn't it happen anymore? Because they don't have the courage to take the stand. Because courage is at such a premium in the day in which we live. You need to get the story, friends. You need to get the story of freedom, the 800 year of freedom. Anybody out there enjoy freedom? Anybody say, hey, I think the Bill of Rights was a good idea. It's helped. It's been good. It's provided a refuge for hundreds of millions of people fleeing tyranny from around the world. Yeah, I like the Bill of Rights. Thank God for lower magistrates that were willing to take the stand against tyrants. That's the story. And you'll find it in my book called Freedom, available at our website, KevinSwanson.com or GenerationsWithVision.com. Curtis, I've been ignoring you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're great.
Okay, so I just had my spiel. But I want to talk about Roy Moore in Alabama because you worked on a number of his campaigns.
Yes, yeah, I worked on his campaign for governor and just an amazing man of God.
He's a hero. A man is a hero. The man stood up against federal tyranny. Same deal. Same deal as Kim Davis, stood up against federal tyranny, and then he lost his position as a chief justice or a justice on the Supreme Court of Alabama.
The chief justice of Alabama lost his position because the courts told him that he could not acknowledge God as the supreme force of authority, and he said, I'll continue to do that. And so he lost his position because of that.
Praise God. And then he came back.
Yes.
Don't you love it?
I do. Re-elected to Supreme Court Chief Justice again.
That's beautiful. That's amazing. There is a God in the heavens.
Amen.
And he's right there with Roy Moore.
Yes.
You know he is.
Yes, absolutely.
That's so encouraging. And the man didn't give up. Tell me what kind of guy you were. You worked in his office for, was it 6 months?
Yeah, worked in his office
for
6 months.
So you knew this guy. You talked to him.
Yes, yeah. Got
on a regular basis.
What
was he like?
And he's just, he's humble, but driven with, and motivated by courage, just mm-hmm. to stand up for God no matter what the cost, and unwilling to compromise and step back when it comes to the truth of acknowledging God as the ultimate source of authority. Mm-hmm. He's just unwilling to waver at all. One of the things that I remember, one of the first times I ever heard him speak before I really knew him, he was speaking to a group of students, actually Teen Pack students, and at the end of his spiel, he presented a time for them to have questions, and they had lots of questions. They asked questions about the founding of the country and various questions about his decision to stand up for acknowledging God. And every single answer that he gave wasn't just something that he thought of, but it was quoting from the Bible or quoting from a founder of the United States. And just his knowledge and courage driven from that knowledge and understanding of God's word and the way the founders interpreted it and applied it to our country.
Yeah, I think that's so key. I think that the reason why we are so far gone today is because hardly anybody knows the word of God, and hardly anybody really wants to, you know, form themselves in the principles from a bygone era in which, well, freedom and virtue
right.
and the Christian principles predominated. You know, you got to go back a couple hundred years. You can't be working off of whatever the public school classrooms have taught you in the last 10 years.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you worked with his campaigns.
Yes.
He ran for governor a couple of times.
Yes, he ran for governor twice and wasn't elected, lost in the primary, but was elected to the Supreme Court Chief Justice. And, you know, that after unsuccessful runs for governor, he just continued to remain faithful and stand tall and got elected again.
And Curtis, I have to tell you, I can count on one hand the people I appreciate in the civil magistrate today. I'm just the way it is. Well, let's see. There's Kim Davis. That's one.
Yes.
There's Roy Moore. That's yep. two. I'm up to two now.
Right.
I made it to two, right?
Yes.
Okay. There's a few more out there, too.
Yeah.
I don't know how many, but there's just a couple of more civil magistrates with courage. And the reason why Roy Moore is so important, and we brought him out here for a banquet at our Day at the Capitol event a couple of years ago. And the reason we did that was we wanted to have a role model for our young people during Day at the Capitol. And each year at Day at the Capitol, we're training some 400 or 500 young people in basic biblical principles such that by the year 2045, there will be some folks with courage. And that's exactly what you're doing with Teen Pact. And you've done it for the last 20 years or so. This is your 20th year, I think.
Yeah, 2016 will be 20 years that yeah. I've been involved with the ministry of Teen Pact.
And I got involved about 15 years ago. And you were just a kid, by the way.
Yes, now, I was.
Curtis is a homeschool father of three now, in the second generation.
Yes.
And so you've worked with Teen Pact for now about 20 years. It's grown. This thing's huge now. It's slow but steady, but it grows every year.
Yes. Yes. God has blessed Teen Pact. It started in 94, so it's a little bit older, a couple years more than 20 now. And so it's just been great to watch it grow. God's blessed it. Grew from originally started in the state of Georgia and grew to surrounding states in the southeast. And then God's blessed it and brought it in, I believe, 41 or 42 states around the country now.
And you've probably trained somewhere around 50 to 80,000 kids over the years. I'm just throwing out a number, but I think it's probably fairly accurate. Between 50,000 and 80,000 young people connected to leadership, wanting to lead, and wanting to learn the principles of godly leadership rooted and grounded in a biblical world and life view. And it always takes a minority to make a difference. We all know that. And that's really what you've been working at. You're targeting that minority, and you want to make a difference in the years to come.
Yes, absolutely. We've been targeting young people, primarily homeschooled young people that have been trained with godly character and giving them an opportunity to step into during our four-day class program. They go into their state capital, learn about the state government from a hands-on perspective, observing laws being made during the legislative process, watching committees, interviewing lobbyists that are influencing the lawmakers, and having their own mock legislative session and just doing all kinds of things hands-on for a week at their state capitol. And also going, many of them go and interview or sit down and have a conversation with their own legislators and have the opportunity to influence them themselves on issues that they're concerned about.
Friends, registration for 2016 now open at teenpact.com. That's teen, P-A-C-T, teenpact.com. And you've also got these alumni events. So once you know, you get 4,000 to 5,000 young people through the state classes in the 42 states, then they have opportunity to come to Alumni Week and to Survival. And you've just come out of the Survival program down in New Mexico in Glorieta.
Yes.
And why don't you talk a little bit about what you do with Survival?
Yeah, my wife and I are the directors of the Survival program, which is one of the Teen Pact alumni events. And it focuses on taking the students out into the wilderness. They actually are staying in cabins, but we teach basic survival skills, how to start a fire and find water when there's no water, purify water, how to find food, build shelter, those basic necessities that a lot of times, you know, we kind of take for granted in the life that we live. All those things are taken care of for us. So we take the students and teach them those skills and then apply those to their walk with Christ, realizing that when the Bible was written, people had to fight and work hard to get those basic necessities for life. and applying God's word when we understand the work that it takes to get those basic necessities, and then applying God's word to that, it makes it come alive a little bit more. Plus, just spending time outdoors in God's beautiful creation, observing the mountains and the trees and the wildlife around, and you just appreciate God more and appreciate his word more and understand it more clearly, I believe. And so we take a group of students for a week and give them that experience and also have them working together as a team and trying to find ways to accomplish obstacles and overcome challenges, working together as a team and helping them realize that they're a part of a team when they're at home as well, that their family is a team and their church is a team that they're a part of, and they need to work to accomplish the goal of glorifying God in their families and in their churches. And not just as an individual, but be a part of that team as well.
Curtis, it's my hope that we'll see in the next generation more Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednegoes.
Amen.
More Daniels, more Josephs, more Esthers, raised up for such a time as this. I mean, heroes who are able to do what Kim Davis did, and take that stand when it's hard to take the stand. We see this in other countries, Muslim countries. I was raised on the mission field where people were persecuted all the time for not worshiping at the God shelves and things. But in America, wow, it's hard to find the guts, the courage, the faith,
right,
to stand for God. Isn't that your desire for these young folks?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. To try to put role models like Roy Moore and Kim Davis in front of these students and then give them a role model and then give them a little bit of training, a little bit of a taste of what it is to stand up and be bold, to step outside of your comfort zone. And then prayerfully, God will take that little seed and continue it to grow. And at the right time, those young people will be able to stand up and defy people that are over them that are standing against what God wants to have done.
There's the giant. Oh, here's a little stone. I wonder what I can do with this. Oh, wait, I'll grab five. He takes that sling. He lets it go. That giant comes down. Just a matter of venturing out a bit. Attempting it. Well, that's the lesson taught by Teen Pact. By the way, Bill Jack, also involved as a director in these Teen Pact events across the country. Bill Jack, one of the sidekicks here on the program. Curtis Watley's been involved a lot longer than any of us, though. 20 years of experience with Teen Pact program. And to sign up right now, registration's open, friends, teenpact.com. Or you can call toll-free 888-343-1776. That's 888-343-1776 or teenpact.com to register your young person right now. This is a teen event. This is for your junior high school aged children. Check it out at teenpack.com today. Curtis, thanks for joining us on Generation.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Folks, you can listen to this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. And please get my new book, Freedom. It's open right now. It's available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. That's the new book, Freedom. The beautiful, wonderful, incredibly stimulating history of freedom. Tell a story in my book, Freedom, available at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.